Good morning, church. It is a pleasure to be with you this morning. For those of you online, it is a pleasure to be with you this morning. We're always excited to gather as a church and to read God's Word and to hear God's Word preach. If you've been with us, you know we've been walking through the book of Matthew, and we are in the last chapter of the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28. And today, we will look at a very important doctrine, by far one of the most important doctrines in the Christian faith, and that is the resurrection. We have been singing about the resurrection. If you didn't realize, the last song was so powerful about the death of Jesus and how the death of Jesus has conquered sin in our lives, and the death of Jesus is what's responsible for us to have a personal relationship with the Lord and to have eternal life and to spend eternity with our God in heaven. With that said, turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 15. When you've arrived to the text, say, Word. Word? Word, can you please stand out of reverence to the Word of God? Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen." And he said, "Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. Therefore, you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell the disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. When they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money, did as they were directed. This story has been spread among the Jews to this day. Let's pray together. Father, we are so thankful for the resurrection of your Son. Because of the resurrection, there is great hope. Because of the resurrection, our faith is valid. Because of the resurrection, we know that we too will be resurrected. Because of the resurrection, we understand that sin is defeated. So God, I pray that we get a greater appreciation for the resurrection this morning. Allow us to be passionate as we live out the resurrection in our lives, as we magnify you for what you have done. So speak to our hearts. Please do not allow us to be distracted. Teach us what we do not know. Make us what we are not, and give us what we do not have. And God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. The title of today's sermon is The Resurrection of the King. The Resurrection of the King. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead is the central fact of Christian history. On it, the church is built. Without it, there is no Christianity. Now, we have seen other religions that make much about paradise and afterlife, but no other religion shares about God coming down in the flesh, dying on behalf of his people, resurrecting from the grave, ascended into heaven, and ruling on high. This makes Christianity very, very unique because of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are some who say they don't believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ because of what they think happened. For example, some believe at night the disciples came and stole the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Others believe that Jesus really did not die. He was resuscitated, and Joseph of Arimathea took his body, took him, and helped him to escape. So they believe Jesus never died on the cross. So people are saying things upon things upon things that what they believed happened, that Jesus really didn't die. Or even if Jesus died, the disciples stole his body. But when we read in Scripture, the apostles really believe that Jesus resurrected. And we could trust what the disciples are saying because they wouldn't die for a lie. They didn't go and steal Jesus' body at night. They didn't know that Joseph of Arimathea stole Jesus' body, and yet they would die for a lie. No. They firmly believed that Jesus resurrected from the grave. That's why Paul dedicated an entire chapter in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, to the resurrection of our Lord. If you notice very carefully, in that, Paul shares of the great doctrine of the gospel. And he shares of the resurrection, how important it is. And he even goes further to say that without the resurrection, there is no Christianity, there is no hope. This is how important the Apostle Paul saw the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, do you understand the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ? Perhaps this morning, some of you who are listening online, you don't believe in the resurrection. Maybe some of you here, you don't believe in the resurrection. My goal this morning, my prayer this morning, is that as we walk through the book of Matthew, you will get a greater understanding of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe some of you in this room, you say, yeah, I trust, I believe in the resurrection. But there is no passion. It has become something of old for you. It's just something that you know you believe, but you're not living it out. And my prayer is that you will live out the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ in your life. This morning, see of the importance of this great miracle. I love this because when you think about miracles in the Gospels, there are two miracles that all four Gospels made mention of. The first miracle that all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John mention is the feeding of the 5,000. And the second is the resurrection. All four Gospels share about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, I want us to see three elements concerning the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from Matthew's account. The first element is this, the disciples' discovery. The disciples' discovery. We see that the women went to the tomb of our Lord Jesus Christ and they discovered something incredible. Let me give you the secret coming closer. This is what they discovered. The tomb was empty. It's good. The tomb was empty, which points to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. An empty tomb is something great for us. We see this in verses 1 through 4 and also verses 8 through 10. 2, the angel's announcement. The angel's announcement. The angel gave 4 imperatives. Come and see, go and tell. Come and see, go and tell. So I want us to look at deeply into the angel's announcement, the angel's message. And 3, I want you to see the religious leader's deception. The religious leader's deception, by far, one of the saddest stories in the Bible. Seeing what the guards mentioned about the body of Jesus Christ, recollecting, went to Pilate and told Pilate, the religious leaders, told Pilate, we remembered Jesus when he was alive. He said he would rise on the third day. So we're asking you to put guards to guard the tomb of Jesus. And here are the guards coming and saying to them, the angel rolled the stone away. The tomb is empty. Evidence upon evidence for the religious leaders to believe. And then they concocted a plan. Treachery. Say that his disciples came and stole the body. Evidence upon evidence to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And yet they did not believe because they did not want to believe. Sad. To jump into the first point with me. The disciples' discovery. Over the years, critics have complained about what they consider discrepancies in these accounts. This is the one thing, or one of the many things, that they will attack in the Bible, which is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because they know if they can attack the resurrection, then Christianity will be void. So one of the things they would say is they will put all the accounts together and they will find a number of discrepancies. And perhaps as you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you might ask yourself the same questions. What's going on here? For example, the number of women. Matthew mentions two women. Mark mentioned three women. Luke refers to three by name and speaks of others. And John only mentions one woman, Mary Magdalene, in John chapter 20, verse 1. Another alleged discrepancy is the time that the women went out. Matthew tells us, as we read through Matthew's account, that the women went out during dawn, at dawn. Mark tells us very early, at sunrise. Luke tells us very early, but John says it was still dark. So as we read through these stories, people are saying there are a lot of discrepancies. But coming closer, and I want you to understand, there are no discrepancies here. None at all. When they talk about the women here, the story is giving us an idea of what's happening. So Mark perhaps focused on the one woman who talked or experienced Jesus the most in that particular scene. When they talked about the dawn or the dark, when they went to the tomb, it was dark. It was early in the morning, and John was right. They left when it was still dark. They arrived to the tomb, and it was dawn. Angels, right? It talks about one angel. Like Matthew tells us that there are two angels, and other says there's only one angel. What they're doing is they're focusing on the one angel that spoke. There are no discrepancies here. As a matter of fact, they each tells us, they give us a partial story. Each one of them gives us a partial story of the account. And that makes the account even better. Because now we have four witnesses, and they're giving us what they saw. They're giving us what they experienced. That makes it really, really good. Come in closer and get this. The fact that there are variations in the tellings of an obviously identical story actually attests to the reliability of the narratives. It is. And the fact that they agree on certain things even make it better. Four gospels, four witnesses, and they are all giving us an account of what happened. Come in closer and get this. See what happens here. In the gospel of Luke, it mentioned that these women are going to the temple. Matthew tells us as well. At dawn, they are at the tomb. John tells us it was dark. Basically, they were walking there, and then they got to the tomb, and then it was dawn. What are they doing at the tomb of Jesus Christ? They went to bring spice. Spices, according to Luke chapter 24, to prepare Jesus' body for decomposition. That's what they were doing. Do you get this? These women were at the cross of Jesus Christ. Now they are at the death of Jesus Christ, at the tomb of Jesus Christ, and they're bringing spices to prepare Jesus for decomposition. Listen to this very carefully. The terror of Good Friday was over. The terror of Good Friday was over. Jesus is dead. The grief of Saturday was still with them, and they came mourning, mourning to prepare the body of Jesus Christ for decomposition. These women act. Come in closer. It shows great faith, or really, it shows great love and devotion. Don't miss this. Get this. Their action shows great love and devotion, but their action points to a lack of faith. Why is there a lack of faith here? Because of what Jesus mentioned to his disciples. Three times in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus mentioned that he will die and resurrect on the third day. Notice with me very carefully, Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. That's the first time Jesus told them what will happen. Matthew chapter 17, verses 22 through 23. And they were gathering in Galilee, and Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day." Second time Jesus told his disciple. And you would think two is enough. No, he's going to tell them again. Again in Matthew chapter 20, verses 18 through 19. See, we are going up to Jerusalem right before he entered into Jerusalem. He told them, "We're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. And he will be raised on the third day." What is going on here? Why didn't the disciples of Christ remember that he would resurrect, that he was going to be resurrected? Why? Because of fear. You get it. Coming closer, get this. Because of fear. Fear dominates the heart and emotions of a person, and it turns them from believing in the supernatural. It does. We are fearful of what's happening around us, our economy, COVID-19, racial wars. And we think it's about to end, and we are so fearful that we forget that our Lord will return for his people. You see how fear prevents you from believing in the supernatural. We forget the promises of God because of fear. And let's learn from the disciples here. Jesus over and over told them that he will raise on the third day. He will be raised on the third day. And yet, they forgot. They forgot. These women are discussing something when they got, right before they got to the tomb. And Mark tells us, as they are walking, you can tell they're not thinking that there will be a resurrection. They are thinking, we love Jesus. We are devoted to Jesus. We want to put those spices on Jesus' body so he will not decompose. And Mark gives us an idea here because Mark tells us what they were talking about. Mark 16, verse 3, Mark says, "And they were saying to one another, 'Who will roll the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?'" And they got there. And the stone is rolled away. Now, come in closer. And this is important. This is very important. Why do you think the stone was rolled away? Was it to get Jesus out? Or was it to get the disciples in? It's not to get Jesus out. Jesus didn't need an angel to roll the stone away for him. No, Jesus left the temple like this. The tombstone was rolled away so that the disciples could enter into the tomb and see with their own eyes that Jesus resurrected. They needed to see an empty tomb to point to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The stone was rolled away so that disciples could enter in and see. This is powerful. This is very powerful. And this leads us to the second point. The angel's announcement. The angel's announcement. See for yourself in verses 5 through 7. This is the implication of the stone being rolled away from the tomb of Jesus so the disciples could enter in. And notice very carefully what the angel mentioned in verses 5 through 7. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is no longer here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you everything." Now observe with me very carefully at the second point, the angel's announcement. The angels gave four imperative commands to the women. Four commands here that are very, very important. Come and see, go and tell. Notice with me the first imperative command. Come. Come. This was a very important statement to the women because there were many reasons why the women would not want to come. The moment the women saw that the stone was rolled away from the tomb, there should have been fear in their hearts. Why? Because in that very time, there were grave robbers, people who would constantly go into the grave and rob it. They would do that on a consistent basis. So anytime you would see a stone being rolled away, it was an indication that perhaps there were grave robbers. Here is another problem. Another problem was it was early in the morning. There were women. Who knows what would happen to them because of this? Another problem was Rome sealed the tomb of Jesus with this stone. This is defying Rome by the stone being rolled away. So these women, the fact that they are coming, as the angel said, to come is something very, very important. It shows faith. It does. They could have said, "Let's go back. It is not safe here. Let's come back when it's brighter, when people are around." But they chose to do something different. You know why? The invitation to come was from God, and they recognized the voice of God in the invitation and obeyed it. In the same way, the preaching of the gospel says to come. Notice what our Lord Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Have you come? Are you obeying our Lord? Have you come to this great invitation? Coming closer and get this. There can be no intimacy with God, no salvation, no growth in the Christian life until you come to Jesus. Come. Come. The second imperative here is to see. I love this. What exactly is the angel asking the women to see? There are several things. One is, as they walk into the empty grave of Jesus, the empty tomb of Jesus, they are seeing the horror of their sins. It was our sins that led him to the cross. It was our sins that killed him. They saw the horror of their sins as they look into the empty grave of Jesus. They also saw something incredible here. They saw that they too will die. If this great God and Savior can die physically, we too will die. They understood the importance of that, that we too will die. They saw something very important, and this is by far the most important thing. When they look into the empty tomb, they saw that Jesus was not in it. That Jesus' great promise that he will resurrect on the third day actually happened. It's empty. He is victorious. When they look into the empty tomb of Jesus, they saw something else. That we too shall rise with Jesus. We too shall resurrect one day if we believe upon his name. The empty tomb has a lot of great implications. When we look at the empty tomb, we are assured that one day we will be with him and he will be as he is. We will be with him and will be as he is. What a great truth. The great resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The tomb is empty. And when we look into the empty tomb, we see the horror of our sins. We see that we too shall die. We see that Jesus is not in it. And we see that we too shall rise with Jesus. But notice the second command here. He says, come and see. The third command is to go. And I'm thankful here that the angel is commanding them to go. You know why? It would be so tempting for the women disciples to stay at the tomb of Jesus, learning all the lessons. Wow, I'm infatuated that I came, I'm seeing, I see the horror of my sins, I see that I will die as well, I see that Jesus is not in it, I see that I will resurrect, and I can see them trying to marvel at all the great lessons that they're learning and wanting to stay near the tomb. But the angel says, you don't have time to stay. Go! Go! Why is that important? Because we see Jesus himself twice will tell them to go. Later on in this very text, see in your own Bibles, when Jesus encountered them, in verse 10, he says, then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid, go and tell. Christians, we are missionaries that are constantly going, not staying. We go. We share. We do what he has commanded us to do. And later on, in the book of Matthew, the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20, what does Jesus say? He says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is always commanding us to go. We as Christians, a lot of times, we just want to stay. We marvel at great doctrines and great things in Christianity, the foundation of Christianity. We just sit and we marvel, but we never go. And here we see that Jesus is commanding the disciples to go. But to go and do what? Go and do what? Go and tell. You see, we come and see. We go and tell. This is exactly what Jesus is doing here. That we tell the world of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We walk with our feet. We share with people that Jesus Christ raised on the third day, that Jesus Christ is no longer in the grave, that Jesus Christ was born in this world. He lived this perfect life, sinless life, and God demanded a payment for our sins. And Jesus says he will take all of our sins upon his back. And Jesus died on the cross as a payment, as a ransom, so that you can be forgiven. That's what we tell. We tell the world of this Lord who has forgiven us, who took our place on the cross, this Lord that we are living for and are passionate about. That's what we do. This is the good news. How are you going? How are you telling? We must do this. We must. And notice with me the third and final point here. We see what the angels did. There's a great announcement. Two angels, one spoke. Now we see something else. The religious leader's deception. We see this in verses 11 through 15. Look in your own Bible. Verses 11 through 15. And they were going, and behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. I told you from the very beginning, this is sad. That you have the evidence before you and you are choosing not to believe." They did not believe because they did not want to believe. And we see this here. We see this here. The women were not the only one who experienced the stone being rolled away. The guards were there as well. The soldiers that Pilate gave to the religious leaders to have them stand right next to the tomb of Jesus Christ, they experienced it. And according to the text, when they saw it, they were afraid and they were like dead men. And here they are. They went to the religious leaders, the Sanhedrin, the chief priests and all of them. And they're saying to them, this is exactly what happened. They did not fabricate anything. They told them exactly what happened. Without hesitation, came up with this lie. How could they do this? How can they do this? Well, people do this all the time. All the time because of their sinful hearts. Because of depravity. Because they hate God. They do this often. Friends, I ask, if you're in this room today, and you feel like them, if you're listening online today, and you feel like the religious leaders, repent. Turn to God to soften your hearts. This is a result of hardened hearts. And throughout Jesus' ministry, he is constantly telling the religious leaders that they are hardened. But how can you have a soft heart? It is the work of the Spirit. You turn to the Spirit of God. You turn to God to soften, to regenerate, to save your heart. My prayer is that you will do this. As I look at this very text and see what the religious leaders are doing, I cannot help but see what people are doing today. No difference. No difference. But as we close, see with me the implication of the resurrection. Why is the resurrection so important to us? Why is it? Here are a few implications. Because of the resurrection, Christians know that death has been conquered and that they too will be raised from the dead to live forever with Christ. Praise God. Two, the resurrection gives authority to the church's witness in the world. You know why? Because we tell people that our God is no longer on the cross, no longer in the manger, no longer in the grave, like Buddha, like Confucius, like Muhammad. They're all in the grave. This Savior that we serve
is risen on high, sitting on his throne. That gives the church great authority as we witness in this world. We tell them, come and serve the living God. In Luke's account, as the women are looking for Jesus, the angel said to the women, why are you searching for the living among the dead? He's alive. Go. We serve a living God. The resurrection helps Christians find meaning even in great tragedy. But some of you who have experienced miscarriage, some of you who have experienced a loved one who passed away, a dad or mom or sister or cousin, and you know without a doubt that person was saved, well, there is great joy knowing that you will reunite with that person because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You will. Your babies who died, you will be reunited with them. This is great truth. The resurrection assures Christians that Christ is alive and ruling his kingdom. He is not legend. He is alive and real. It's not a story that is fake and fabricated. This is truth. And finally, God's power that brought Jesus back from the dead is available to believers so that they can live for him in an evil world. We can. You have hope today in a very discouraging time. When you look at the economy, when you see COVID-19, when you see racial wars, when you see your husbands being laid off, when you see it, cancer is all over the place. Listen to me and come in closer. We have great hope and joy because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I ask you, this is my prayer for you every day. Every day when I wake up, I sense it in my own heart, and I sense it maybe in some of you as well. There is this issue of losing joy in this season, right? Right? You have to fight for joy in this season. And the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we think about it, we apply it to our lives, can give us great joy. So let's be joyful. Let's find joy. Let's fight for joy in this season. So friends, we see the great implications of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see exactly what the disciples discovered. What did they discover? An empty tomb. An empty tomb. We see of the angels' announcement. What did they announce? Do not be afraid. Come and see. Go and tell. And finally, we see of the religious leaders' deception. Why? Because of their hardened heart. So saints, let's turn to Jesus. Let's glorify Jesus. Let's be passionate about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Join me as we pray together. Father, you are worthy of all praise and honor and glory. God, sometimes we forget the power of the resurrection, like we forget a lot of things in our lives. Because we are anxious and fearful creatures. As we can tell that fear eliminates the understanding of the supernatural. When fear dominates our hearts, we find that we are no longer believing in the supernatural, believing in the miracles of Jesus, believing in the power of Jesus. God, I pray that you remove fear in our hearts. Dominate our hearts with the supernatural, the miracle of the resurrection. We serve a God who is no longer in the tomb, and highly, highly, highly lifted up. So we worship you and we exalt you.